Welcome to the Ignite Physio Podcast. This podcast inspires physiotherapists and other health professionals to continue learning and growing in their practice and throughout their career. We explore professional issues with a fresh lens and look inward, delving into topics that help to expand our capacity for growth. This is episode number 49, and I'm Andrew.
And I'm Maxie.
All right. Well, it's been a little while since we've done a little recording here, and lots has been going on.
Yes.
Your life's a little crazy right now.
Well, you know.
As and a good crazy.
As I was saying, Andrew, opportunities.
It's striking.
Is opportunities, opportunities. However, I would say, yes, there's a lot of shifting ground in my world. Not in the stability. A lot of opportunity, but with that is also uncertainty and instability as well. So, yeah.
So we were initially going to continue on in our taking some of those nuggets from the Lost Art of Healing book, but we actually, as we were debriefing a little bit and catching up, we thought, why not talk about self-care? And I know it's been a topic that we've brought up on occasion in the past, but I think we've got an interesting bent to it today that I think you'll find helpful. And I think that as therapists, it is very easy to put the needs of others first. And I think that's, you know, when you go into a helping profession, that's often, you know, a trait that's a real positive, but it also has a dark side. And I think that dark side is that we sometimes don't take care of ourselves very well. And I think what we want to talk about today is this idea of asking for help. And so, Maxie, I wanted to, if you could just sort of share a little bit about what's going on for you and just what you were sharing before we even just hit the record button, to talk about this idea of self-care and this need and the importance of asking for help. So,
right. So, yes, the context to the backdrop.
Yeah, let's set the backdrop.
The backdrop to how we got to talking about this today, because I'm revved up.
That's right. You got some coffee here. We're revved up.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, as I was telling Andrew, I finished my postdoc, and in the interim of applying for academic positions and interviewing for academic positions, of course, I have to bring home the kibble for the doggies, right? And so look at others, not even myself, thinking of the kibble, right? And so, you know, have taken on some contracts based on my experiences, you know, from my postdoc and with research.
Yeah.
But that said, you know, these contracts are new ground for me as well. You know, it's a huge learning curve for me. And so the idea that there's a lot of uncertainty in my life in terms of what I'll be doing in the next 10 months, in 10 months' time. But also, you know, even right now, every day I wake up, it's like, oh my God.
What's happening?
What am I doing today? How is all of this going to get done? First of all, how is it all going to get done?
Yes.
And is it going to get done well?
Yeah.
And also, huge learning curve. Am I doing it right?
Yes.
And you want to know what? I know this is a tangent, but I literally remember the SNL skit, the Jack Handy skit. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And people like me.
Yeah.
What? Honestly. Al Franken.
Oh, okay.
Who's Al Franken? It's like Jack Handy. And he was like, just remember, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And people like me.
That's your
mantra. And I said to my wife yesterday, I said, honestly, I laughed at that, but it's real.
It's true.
I have to say that to myself every day when I wake up. These positive is like something positive affirmation from Jack Handy. So that's my world right now. Lots of opportunity, exciting, a lot of creativity involved. Mm-hmm. So it's really great, but the uncertainty and the shifting ground is just constant.
Because you've had a certain amount of stability in terms of what you've been doing up until this point. Now all of a sudden you're moving into this changing world that you're not really sure where it's going.
Yeah.
What side is up?
Yeah. What side is up? Oh, having to learn how to kind of run a business.
Yeah.
Having
you're an entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur. and so having to learn all that and how much money am I bringing in, right? Before it was like a steady paycheck. Yeah. I knew exactly how much was coming in. So lots exploding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of that's going on.
Yes.
Back in June, started to get some kind of pain in my ischial tuberosity region. And it felt kind of like, and so my physio hat comes on, right?
Put that on.
Take care of yourself, you know?
Exactly.
You know, and I'm using the best, the literature, the practice guidelines, saying, you know, keep moving.
Yeah.
You know, don't take it lying down.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's right. Good. Messaging has stuck.
Funny, because lying on my back was the most relieving position for me. And quite frankly, it still is the best position to help.
You're like, I feel guilty.
I feel guilty, but it helps. And so, you know, I'm doing all of these things. But I'm not asking, but I'm doing it myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
you're not,
take
you're
care
not
of this.
Discussing this with anybody.
No,
you're sort
no,
of, you're just
no.
Sort of like,
I can barely walk.
Okay, yes.
But I'm doing it myself because I'm going, this back pain's going to get better.
Yeah.
It's going to be no problem. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's going to resolve.
Positive expectations.
Right? It's going to resolve.
Yeah.
I've got positive expectations.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
So this ischial pain, then, like, long story short, it was like, you know, up and down, real roller coaster. It seemed like he'd get better, and then poof, I'd be down again. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. And so back stiffness, ischial kind of pain,
yeah,
posterior pelvic pain. Then the pain starts moving throughout my entire pelvis, and I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on?
Yeah, right.
So things aren't getting better.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, then I also start getting
the shoulder
neck pain, the shoulder pain,
yeah.
Like intense. And so I'm like, what is happening to me?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, but still in all of that. So this started in June. It is October.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's been a while. Yeah.
I'm going to deal with it myself.
Yes. But you were not being successful.
My wife says to me, maybe you should go and see so-and-so at this particular physical therapy place. I'm like, I don't need physio. I can handle this myself. I
can do it, even though you're having problems walking.
I can do it. I can't walk. I can't sit. I can't sleep properly. But I am going to do this myself.
Yeah.
And so finally it got to the point where I just went, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
Like emotionally, this is too hard.
You were drained.
I was drained emotionally.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I need support.
Yeah.
I can't do this on my own. But it took how many months?
Yeah.
And to the point where I was breaking, just emotionally, you know, at points, right? And I'm like, I can't do this, right? I can't do this. Yeah. I need help. And so, boom, made the appointment, you know, had my first physical therapy treatment, a session a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And voila, and here we are.
Yeah.
And here we are talking about, why did it take me so long?
Yeah.
Why did I let myself get to the brink of, you know, what is that about?
Yeah.
Why did I not want to get help?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Like, it's almost like, is that ego sort of coming through? Like, what is it that, and because I mean, I definitely, you know, think that you're not alone in that, because I feel like I have that tendency too, where you're like, no, I can just keep going. And why should I, like, I should have my stuff together. And then yet, when
my
we see
stuff.
Our patients,
so
my stuff.
My stuff.
Okay, we'll keep it PG.
Keep it PG.
You know, but the thing is that, you know, in clinic, you're always encouraging your patients to help them get the support they need. You're being a support to them, right? And yet we have this really hard time to do that ourselves, right?
Also, though, remember, we're also, and this is one of my soapboxes that I get on every once in a while.
Get on that soapbox.
because we, sometimes I think we're trying to get patients out of the clinic before they get into the clinic, before they've allowed us to support them, because we're so focused on self-efficacy. We're so focused on independence, having them be able to treat themselves and be their own therapist, right?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Ever. If I am constantly thinking that as a therapist, that's what I have to do, why would I treat myself any differently?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why would I think that I shouldn't be able to take care of this on my own, given my knowledge? You know, and is it a show of weakness that I've got to go to a physio. I couldn't figure this out. I couldn't do it on my own.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how weak is that?
And there may even just be that idea too, where I have a physical issue and I shouldn't have a physical issue as a therapist, right? Like, heaven forbid that you actually maybe have past injuries or issues that are, you know, cropping up, and that it's affecting your quality of life.
Yeah. Right? Massively affecting my quality of life.
Well, and I think it's true. Like, you always, there's always this sense of, like, you know, and I think that, you know, sort of in the physio community, there's a sense of, like, okay, well, you know, we pride ourselves on, like, we're getting people back, getting them independent. You know, we're not, you know, creating a dependency on treatment, right? Which I think is a good general direction to go. But I think there's sometimes our patients that actually need some ongoing support.
Yeah, there's right? there's a support that you know, like for example, for me,
yeah.
Say right now,
yeah.
Because of the nature of what's going on, you know, and I'm not seeing the physiotherapist three times a week. It's well, you know, once a week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you know, and so now, and it's I've only seen her once, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not projecting it's going to be this, you know, keep me coming thing at all.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I felt like she was not acknowledging, like here I am, somebody who has so much difficulty asking for help. Mm-hmm. It's one of my core beliefs. Like mm-hmm. I'm very self-reliant.
Mm-hmm.
And if I went into that physical therapist and I felt that I couldn't let go enough for her to help me,
mm-hmm.
to support me, but that she was actually just trying to go, oh, well, you can do this on your own and you can, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
that's just kind of reinforcing a pattern mm-hmm. in me
yeah.
that it actually what I need
yeah.
is a place where I can be vulnerable,
yeah.
a place where I can let go and actually begin to receive help.
And almost letting go of what is the outcome, right? Like we're so outcome driven, which is, again, it's yeah. not a bad thing. But yeah. what about in that situation where you actually, you need to almost pause the outcome
yeah.
focus for yes. a moment to just be like, okay, let's just sit with this for yeah, a sec, right?
And so what came out of that first session,
mm-hmm.
because you know me, because of what I study,
there's multiple layers.
Relations there, right?
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, we're going through like the assessment yeah. and I'm thinking, okay, she hasn't asked me about this or she, you know what I mean? I'm kind of going, well, what kind of relationship are we developing here? And I'm going, yeah, we're developing. Yeah, this is working on. But in her history, she didn't really ask me about, you know, a lot about my social stuff or anything mm-hmm. like that. So I was like, hmm. I kind of went, hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Question mark.
And I know this person, so I was kind of like, hmm.
Yeah.
Not that she hasn't asked me about this. But as she moved through her assessment, she started to ask me about, so, like, what kind of changes going on in your life? Or what was happening there,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I said, well, actually, you know, I was planning on being unemployed at the end of August, right? And I'm trying to figure out what I was doing and what was going to give me, like, financial stability, you know, after I was done my postdoc in between gigs.
Well, I remember having that conversation with
yeah.
you in one of the earlier recordings. Where you're like, I don't really know what life is going to bring here.
Yeah.
There was a lot of uncertainty, right?
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. It's, and there is an excitement, right? But there's also that level of, is there safety, right?
Yeah. Am I going to be safe? Am I going to be able to eat, pay my bills,
yeah.
you know, all
the
of that stuff, bring the kibble home.
Yeah.
They need to be groomed.
Well, that's
and
right.
I mean,
that's
right.
Well, and I think when you were talking about this idea of seeing someone where you have that sense of safety and this idea of acknowledging needing help, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that I just think of like, okay, how I always just think of like, okay, with the patients I see, how good of a job do I do in acknowledging and commending mm-hmm. that patient in front of me to say, you know, it's really good that you actually took time out and put a bit of a pause on things to just mm-hmm. take care of yourself,
yeah.
right? Like, And I think there's probably different ways that we can do that with a patient. Like it doesn't always have to be like an explicit, you know, statement that we make. But I wonder if there are ways that we can actually reinforce and say, hey, good for you for taking care. Because I think there is a
yeah.
sense of like, you know, that we, you know, self-care isn't necessarily highly valued at some levels, right? Especially, you know, if we have this high drive for, you know, self-autonomy and all of that,
yeah.
right? So...
Well, and also, like, we just have busy lives.
Well, we do.
Like,
yeah.
you know, people have kids, they've got their jobs. I'm working how many hours a day?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take time out.
Yeah.
I don't feel I have the time to
yeah.
do this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that idea of care
mm-hmm.
and caring for yourself, that was something that my physio and I had a conversation about. Because even though I know that in my brain as an idea,
mm-hmm.
that I would likely speak with about with other patients,
yeah.
with patients. It's something that for me, it's a hard thing to take care. And what does that mean to me?
Yeah.
How does that manifest daily for me?
Yeah.
And what we figured
yeah.
out was that, yes, I need to go back to those things that are indicative of me having space to care for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking earlier about me going back to my meditation
yeah,
practice, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's not about the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the space that I'm creating for
yeah.
myself to be with myself.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Right? And to be with the fear that I have about my future, to be mm-hmm. with the anxiety that to be with it. It's because my pattern is when I get scared about something, that I'm going to work.
You're just going to push through it.
I'm going to push through it, and I will work, yeah. and I will work so hard that I will find a solution.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And we figured out that, yes, that's probably a layer of what's going on
mm-hmm.
with this physical
manifestation.
Stuff that's happening with me right now.
Well, I think a big part of that, too, is this, I think this idea of self-care is very closely coupled with self-compassion, right?
Oh.
And I think, again, when we blow through our own, you know, guardrails in life, and we blow through these warning signs that come up, it's like, where does self-compassion fit into that? Because a lot of times we sort of throw that out the window and we're just like, just push forward, right? Like, and I don't care what happens to me, or I'm going to have this level of expectation about myself that is unrealistic, right? Yeah. We have these distorted views of our, you know, we have stories we tell ourselves mm-hmm. that are not necessarily accurate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But often what can get undercut through that is a sense of self-compassion to say, you know what, I'm not okay right now, and I'm going to extend compassion to myself, the same kind of compassion that I would extend to my patients, right? Hey, Andrew here. Just a quick break from the podcast, as I wanted to let you know about an innovative web-based tool that I'm building that's going to help optimize your treatment approach and achieve better results with less stress. The reason I'm building this app is to help myself and other therapists more deeply understand our patients so that we can avoid the potential pitfalls that can jeopardize treatment outcomes. So much of what impacts treatment is hidden below the surface, and this tool will help adjust how you approach each patient based on who they are. Think of it as Outcome Measures 2.0. Make sure to check out the show notes for a link to sign up to get my latest updates. All right, back to the show.
But
we sometimes just forget that about ourselves.
Yeah.
And then you need to create space to even be present to be self-compassionate. So that's, I think, is interesting, because I know that for myself too. Like, self-compassion sort of goes out the window, right? And it's like, it's like drive, push, 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 right? And then it's like these warning signs that are like blinking on your dashboard of your life, right? Are like, bing, bing, bing.
Yeah.
And you're like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you end up in a point where you're like, you have a breakdown.
Yeah.
Right? Or things break down around you, i.e. relationships, right? That we then say, hang on a second, why didn't I notice that, right? But I think it comes back to the fact that we need space, right? Because if there's too much noise, we are not going to, we are not even going to hear it.
And we're so, and we get so comfortable with that noise, it's like we need the noise.
Yeah.
So that we know that we're fighting against the fear and the anxiety. And that's the thing, is like if you're driven from fear, so even from a creative standpoint, so a lot of the work I'm doing right now is coming from a creative space.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in fear and anxiety,
it closes you off.
It shuts you down.
Yeah.
Right? And and we can go into the neurophysiology of fear and anxiety in terms of what it does to your body. But even for my creative work and how much I want to control everything, That is a killer.
Yeah. I just think of that visual of like, do you have an open hand or is your fist tightly closed?
Oh God,
right?
It's wrenched.
No, my knuckles are white.
But slowly opening.
Yes, that's right. Well, but exactly, right? Like, you've now taken proactive steps. You've been creating space for yourself, right? Because you've recognized, I need to do this. I need to create space because there has been not enough space.
Yeah.
And you've taken that step to say, okay, I need to see someone to start to unpack what's going on here, right?
Yeah.
And being open to what those layers could be, not just from an MSK standpoint, but recognizing the role of emotion within that.
And emotion, my core beliefs as a person, what drives me.
Yeah.
And when I get into ruts, what is the root of the rut? What is driving me along this path, right? You know, because... And it's really just going back to that self-compassion when I'm saying I'm good enough, I'm smart enough.
Mm-hmm.
You
know
me.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like truly, or something I said to myself yesterday, I was saying to my wife, everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I look around me and I look at all the beautiful things that I have. Everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just relax.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, because we get caught up in these narratives and these stories and these dramas. Really, you know, this drama of this or this drama of that.
Yeah.
And we get so pulled into it, so sucked into that movie.
Yeah.
that we're constructing.
Oh, yeah, because we're
driving.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You know, we're driving it well with the participation of others. However, we're creating stories for them as well.
Which reinforces our
own. Right? The story is like, you know, what story am I telling about what they're telling about me?
Which then reinforces the story that I was telling.
Yeah. So it's like this self-fulfilling thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and we take it as absolute truth when in reality, they are stories, they are beliefs that we are, in terms of how we're interpreting reality, and that then causes us to become even more entrenched in that cycle for ourselves.
Yeah, and the idea that also we aren't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't going to get it right all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't get it right all the time because that means that we're probably not learning or allowing ourselves to be vulnerable enough to learn and to grow, right? Because you really grow in vulnerability when you open yourself up, right?
Yeah.
And I think that for me, I feel like I'm wide open right now. I'm very vulnerable in a lot of spots in my life.
Yeah.
And so that for me to acknowledge that, but then also to find the ground of going, what are my grounding points?
Yeah. Like, where's that safety? How can I like be more proactive in terms of reinforcing a sense of safety of self? Because I think we were even talking before we started recording about this idea of like, you know, the chakras and that idea that a lot of that's around like the sense of, you know, grounding that sense of self and stability, right? And that energetic component that may sound a little woo-woo at times, right? But it's like that sense of like, there is an emotional, energetic component to that.
There's an emotional component to it. So, I mean, you know, you can talk about chakras, you can talk about core beliefs, you know what I mean? You can talk about different parts of your
being. It manifests in different ways.
Of your being, right? Yeah. But really, like, you know, there is an emotional component around safety, stability for me, and how much that's manifesting in a physiological reaction. And that is impossible to separate. It's impossible to separate that. And so even that acknowledgement of that, and that you want to know what, I need some support around me. I've got my family that's certainly supporting, but they can only support to what they can do.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. You know, and so I need some extra special support, and that's going for me. And I know at this particular clinic as well, I know I will be taken care of because I feel that they will listen to me.
Yeah.
And I also know that they work throughout the clinic with the therapist in a very collaborative way. So if we kind of get to a point where my therapist I think I need to call somebody else. And I'm like, call somebody else in. Like, we'll work on this together. I'm all for team collaboration. I'm not going to judge this person because they're going like, I think I've taken you as far, or I just need some more input.
Yeah.
I'm like, bring so-and-so in.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Right.
Well, and I think it's, you know, when you're talking, it sort of brings up this idea too, that when we are feeling this lack of safety or we're feeling this as a sense of maybe dysregulation, right. Internally, that really a pathway to reorient and restabilize is through the body. Right. And I think that a lot of times we think, well, it's got to be this like cerebral process of reorientation. And I think that a lot of times we can be picking up on some of this dysregulation through what we're experiencing in our body. Right.
Yeah.
But also I think we can reorient ourselves through our body as well, which I think is, you know, and I think there's so many different ways that we can do that, right? I think that can be one-on-one with a therapist. I think that can be through, you know, some of the different yoga and movement-based therapies that you can be in a very sort of present, grounded way of participating in movement. It can be through meditation, you know, if you're doing a body scan meditation and this type of thing, right? But I think there's so many of those different angles that you could look at that is really individualized, right? I mean, it's like what may work for you may not work for somebody else.
Yeah.
But I think it's like saying, hey, the body is a great way to actually create safety as well, right?
Well, and where do you find safety in your body? And so for me, I did go back to doing some yoga and just sensing, you know, when I'm in warrior pose, like I remember my yoga Yoda telling me, you know, this is like cueing me into connecting with my pelvis, connecting with that sense of groundedness and letting my pelvis sink in between my legs.
Yeah.
You can feel that strength. So it's about strength. I'm solid. I'm stable.
Yeah.
I'm round.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's about integrating that that sensation of the physical sensation of being strong and safe and grounded and stable.
Yeah.
Right? When everything around you might not be so stable.
Yeah. And I think part, and I know for myself too, part of it is that when I get into this place of fear and anxiety, there's a real stagnation that happens from an energetic standpoint, right? And I actually just feel like this tightness in my chest, right? And it's just like everything sort of feels like it just constricts.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things is like, what can you do to help with flow, right? What can you do to sort of just even picture, like, and I love that, like with Qigong, they do a lot of like sort of that breath with movement, right?
Yes.
Where it's like you're picturing your breath traveling through. And I think that idea of like, how do you actually help to unblock that and let go of that a little bit? Because I know fear is just so restricting, right? Like we talked about this idea of like that closed fist, but I think we can feel that in our body as well, right? Where there is that like, just things wrap up, right? And so it's like, okay, well, how can we look at incorporating movement so that you can actually just feel different in your body, right? Because I think that's the other thing that pain does too, is it we start to hold areas tight, right? Yeah. We start to brace ourselves. We start to change our breathing. And all of a sudden it's like, everything just gets blocked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, man, we've gone through some. So where are you taking things now with that, right? So I mean, you've identified that. Okay, yes, you know, self care is something that you need to put a pause on some things and move.
Yeah, for me, I think that will be a lifelong journey for me, right? There isn't a beginning and end to that, right?
No.
You know what I mean? It's not like, okay, I've solved it.
Check.
Right? And I think that's, you know, if we apply that to, if we're thinking alongside that patients and, you know, the struggles that they have, or if they have to come back to you periodically, right? You know, it's not that you haven't made them independent. It's that they're working through their life.
Yeah.
They're working through who they are.
Yeah.
They will bump up against these struggles again at different points in their life, you know, and maybe, you know, and so I think for me that this is not something I think is going to get solved overnight with a treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's that with the support of the people that I have around me and my own commitment to that,
yes,
to myself.
Yeah.
It's not just doing my exercises.
Yeah. Yeah,
as I do, it's the commitment that I me being mindful and me, because it's even so strong this morning. I'm getting up. I know that, you know, we're coming here for 9:00 and I gotta get this off. Gotta get that off.
Yeah.
You know, okay, well, maybe I won't make my drink this morning. I'll wait. I'm like, no, you're making your drink like you do every morning.
Yeah.
You're going to have this healthy beginning to your day.
Yeah.
Then you're going to do your exercise.
Yeah.
Then you're going to meditate.
Yes.
And observe how you're being pulled to your laptop to do these things that take away from you caring for yourself at the beginning of the day. So you see, it's not regimented.
Yeah.
It's not this sort of thing, well, I will do it. It continues. It just continues. And so I think that for me, this is a huge opportunity for me to take myself to another level of understanding of how I operate in the world, who I am, what I believe I am, who I believe I am, what impact I can have in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that a part of that ties into how I'm able to be whole. Right? And I can't be whole if I'm not creating space for my whole being.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And so, but that will be a struggle because I have core beliefs, but I'm willing to take that struggle on because the fruits of what comes with that struggle are going to be pretty big.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I hope.
Well, no, absolutely. I mean, the thing is that you're pressing into this place of vulnerability and ultimately that's the place for growth, right?
Oh, and guess what? I've been talking about vulnerability now for about 2 years and saying, you know, we need to be vulnerable. We need to be vulnerable. We need to be vulnerable as therapists, as educators.
Yeah.
As, you know, that's because that's the space we grow in. Okay, well, you asked for it.
Here we go. So I think if we do sort of a bit of a wrap up here and looking at sort of what those key points are, you know, as you know, for clinicians who are like, okay, you know, what are the key takeaways, right? I mean, I think that one is let's take that moment with patients who we know that seeing us is a big step for them to acknowledge that that step that they've taken in terms of self-care and really sort of moving to a greater level of wholeness? And what can we do as therapists to acknowledge that and not brush that over?
Acknowledge it, not brush it over, and not condemn them for not coming in sooner. Because that's another thing that can happen.
Exactly.
Is that we can go, well, what took you so long? Why did you let it get this bad?
Yeah.
The judgment that comes.
Exactly.
In. So park that.
Yeah.
And acknowledge it.
Because we all have our own stuff. So I think that's a takeaway is that acknowledgement, right? I think recognizing as therapists that we need to be looking at our own self-care and maybe facing some of that resistance that we can feel internally to asking for help, right? And that we don't need to have everything together as therapists, and we don't always need to be putting other people's needs ahead of our own, that we have to also say, you know what, this is important that I take care of myself, and acknowledging that and having some humility to say, you know what, I can't figure it all out, right? Like just how you said, I was doing all the things that I thought I was supposed to be doing, and I still wasn't able to get better, right? I think there's a certain level of humility to say, okay, you know what, I actually just need some help here, right? Another thing that I think, you know, we need to look at is when we talk to our patients is this idea of let's have a conversation with them about what they're doing for self-care, right? As much as we also as therapists need to look at that, I think we also, I think it's useful and helpful to say, okay, you know, patient sitting in front of us, you're going through a really hard time right now, whether that's pain, injury, you know, whatever it is, what are you doing to help make yourself take care of yourself to feel good? Who do you have in your life to help with that, right? And I think that sometimes we brush over those things, and I think that having that conversation can be
that can really signpost resource in their life. I began to do with recognizing everything's gonna be okay.
Yes,
I have a resource inside of me, but I also have my family, and I know that in the end, everything's going to be okay.
Exactly.
Right?
It's going to work out.
And it's going to work out. And I have this support and it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think another key thing that we talked about was this idea of warning signs, right? Can we be aware of our own warning signs, you know, in terms of maybe where we're blowing past guardrails in our own life in terms of saying, you know what, I'm feeling more anxiety about something that I know this is a warning sign for me, or, you know what, I've dropped doing any kind of physical activity because I'm just trying to push through. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think also recognizing that those can be physical warning signs, but they also can be these beliefs that we have where we start to sort of, you know, get ourselves really firm on, I'm just going to push through. Right. If we feel this tendency to be like, you know what, I just know that my way of coping with struggle and lack of safety in my life is blank, right? Okay, well, how do I challenge that? How do I say, you know what, I'm going to maybe not go down that path because I know that that generally doesn't work out for me, right? And saying, how can I counter that? Because I know that that's my coping mechanism or my coping belief or the story I tell myself that this is how I'm going to resolve what's happening.
And if you do, be compassionate.
And then, yes, that's self-compassion, right? And so that comes in.
There's no beginning and end to this.
No,
like,
no.
And
it ebbs and flows, right?
It ebbs and flows, you know?
Yeah.
And so this is our life.
Absolutely. And I think then the last thing that we, you know, touched on, well, maybe not the last thing because there was a lot that we covered, but this idea of using our body as a way to enter into becoming more self-compassionate, being more grounded in that place of safety, that it isn't just a cerebral exercise of saying, oh, I'm safe, but can we use movement and our body to help with that?
Our body, and maybe recognize that that's a part of what we're doing with our patients as well, helping them find safety in their bodies. So it's not just about improving range of motion, improving strength. It's about helping them feel safe in their bodies and find strength in their bodies.
Exactly.
And actually pointing that out to them.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Or helping them sense that in their own bodies, facilitating that.
Exactly. Whew. Oh. All right. Okay. Well, I think that wraps up today's session. Tune in next time.
We don't know what we're going to have. Who knows?
Exactly. It'll be something interesting with lots of rabbit holes. Okay. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the episode. It's great having you on the show today. Now, if you've been enjoying the new show, I'd love for you to leave a review on iTunes, as this just helps more people find out about the podcast, and we'd love to get your feedback.
And if you want to check out the show notes from the podcast, just go to ignitephysio.ca/podcasts.
And if there's any topics that you want us to cover, just shoot us an email at hello@ignitephysio.ca, and we'll make sure to get back in touch with you and see what we can do there. So anyways, thanks for joining us on the show today. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.